Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This Dhamma talk is from the week of June 17, 2019, and will be from the Dhammapada. The Nagavaka is the 23rd chapter of the Dhammapada. And in this chapter, the Buddha uses the metaphor of a well-trained elephant to describe the wisdom of developing wise restraint. If you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace. Greetings, friends. Tonight's talk is from the 23rd chapter of the Dhammapada, known as the Nagavaga. And in this chapter, lay down, come on. In this chapter, the Buddha uses the metaphor of a well-trained elephant to describe the wisdom of developing wise restraint and so to develop the Eightfold Path in a calm and well-concentrated mind. From the Nagavaga. Like an elephant remaining calm in battle, I will remain calm when falsely accused. Many in the world are ignorant of Four Noble Truths. So there's so much profound wisdom in that one beginning statement. We gain the ability to remain calm no matter what's occurring in the world, including when people are attacking us wrongfully, because we understand Four Noble Truths and the nature of ignorance and how it arises in the world. We stop taking things personally. The tamed elephant, well restrained, can be mounted by a king and ridden in a crowd. Foremost are tamed mules, thoroughbreds, and tuskers. I mean, those are the animals that people want to find and develop the most because they're the most helpful to them. All of those well-restrained, foremost among people, are those well-restrained. Again, to be the most mindfully effective human beings we can be, we'll learn the incredible value of wise restraint. And there's articles in this linked in this article and all over the website on what that really means. I won't get into it tonight. I've given plenty of talks on that. The Buddha continues, not by tame mounts does one reach nibbana, or the awakened state. Those self-restrained, having regained control of their minds, always do. A tusker, an elephant, deep in rut, is difficult to control. Again, this is the metaphor is so practical. A mind unrestrained, rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths, is very difficult to control as well, isn't it? Always seeking sensory indulgence and sensory pleasure. Bound to a post, they won't eat, longing for freedom. Our minds do the same thing. Bound to ignorance, our minds wither away. That's literally what the Buddha describes, the living death of ignorance. A person, lazy, overfed, wallowing like a pig, will give birth again and again to ignorance. It's another important teaching on the Buddha's meaning of rebirth. And I won't, again, that's not tonight's talk. But the most important understanding from the Buddha's teaching on rebirth is what we're giving birth to in each moment. And if our minds are continued to be rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths, we can only hope to give birth in this moment to a moment that is rooted in that ignorance. As we develop awakening, we're able to move ourselves towards that awakened state by giving birth right now to a moment and a mind that is inclined towards awakening. It's also a teaching on karma and rebirth, if you will. The Buddha continues, in the past, my mind wandered mindlessly where it wished, always seeking satisfaction. Now I have thoroughly tamed my mind as a trainer controls an elephant in rut. This is another thing that's almost always overlooked in modern Buddhism. In fact, I would say that most modern Buddhist practitioners have an aversion to even that word, the words gaining control, as this is something that is we shouldn't be doing. But framed by the Eightfold Path in a well-concentrated mind, the essence of the Buddha's Dhamma is gaining control of our minds. And it's the essence of mindfulness. The Buddha taught mindfulness, not that we should be flicking our mindfulness on everything that's occurring, all arising and passing objects, events, views, and ideas. That's just mindless mindfulness, if you want to look at it that way. The Buddha taught a very specific type of mindfulness, and it's founded in a well-concentrated mind, the reason for the Buddha's teachings on meditation, that supports the refined mindfulness that can hold in mind the Eightfold Path as our path of awakening. The Buddha continues, take your pleasure in mindfulness. Guide your own thoughts. Lift yourself out of the mire of ignorance like an elephant from the mud. Overcome any obstacles to find a wise and prudent friend who is established in the Dhamma. Keep their company with mindfulness and joy. If no wise and prudent friend established in the Dhamma can be found, it is better to go your own way, like a king leaves a conquered village or a lone elephant in the forest. What another powerful teaching. And an underlying theme to the Buddha's Dhamma is the importance of wise associations, meaning within Dhamma practice, to associate with other people that are actually developing his Dhamma. And he teaches, the foolishness of expecting to develop, and this is in many suttas, the expecting to develop the Dhamma when associating the Buddha's Dhamma through other people and other practices with those other practices. It just doesn't work. And I know this is contrary to what almost every Buddhist practitioner will claim, that, including very famous teachers, will claim foolishly that all Buddhism is basically one thing and the goal is all the same. And there's nothing further from what the Buddha taught. There's nothing that contradicts the Buddha's own teachings than that single statement. And again, tonight's talk is not on that, but there's a lot of information on my website. In fact, nearly every article I addressed that one point, because it's so singularly important in maintaining our focus on the Buddhist Dhamma. Live carefree like an elephant in the forest. Establish seclusion and abandon harm. There is no fellowship with fools, even though we'd like to think. It's an arrogant belief, by the way, that we can associate with fools within a Dhamma practice and not have a well-focused Dhamma practice. And that's just encouraging fools and foolish behavior. Those that have actually come to Cross River Meditation Center or listen to my talks regularly know the importance that I place on having a well-informed and well-focused sangha and classes, talks, and articles. There is no inclusion of anything that is not found in the Buddhist teachings as preserved in the Sutta Pitaka. And the sole reason I do that is that's the only way that I know that I can remain pure and authentic to what an awakened human being actually taught. Fortunate are wise friends indeed. Fortunate is contentment with what occurs. Fortunate it is to end ignorance before death. Fortunate it is to end suffering and awakening. In this world, it is skillful to serve one's parents. In this world, it is skillful to serve monks and nuns and wise Dhamma practitioners. Skillful it is to develop virtue. Skillful it is to persevere. Skillful it is to restrain mindlessness. And skillful it is to develop wisdom. That's the end of the sutta. And that last line, skillful it is to restrain mindlessness. That last line is probably more appropriate today than it was during the Buddha's time. But he was addressing the common foolishness prevalent during his time, just as today, that mindfulness means to be mindful of every single thing that is arising and passing away, calling that insight into impermanence. And that is just a constant, another word, I called it mindless mindfulness before, you can call it mindful distraction. Because the Buddha teaches that what we should do with a well-concentrated mind is to apply mindfulness to the eight factors of the Eightfold Path and develop that refined mindfulness so that we can hold in mind the Eightfold Path as our path towards developing a mind that has complete understanding of the nature of suffering. That's tonight's talk. I hope you found benefit from this talk. And if you do, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace.